Supernatural ministry of Jesus. Did you hear him? Did you hear him? The supernatural ministry of Jesus. And that's what we are going to look at today. Okay. Just ignore these children. Assume they are not in church. Hallelujah. Okay. So when we say something is supernatural, of course, I don't need to delve into too many definitions. If say something is supernatural, it means it is not normal. It is not something extraordinary. It's not something that is strange. When you say something is supernatural, it means it's something that is strange, right? For example, as Rejoice is writing, is it a natural act or a supernatural act? But what if the book is just there and then we're just seeing the pen writing on the book with very fine handwriting, the way we saw Mene Mene Teke has. So what would that be? But it's not the same writing. Do you understand? So what changes something from a natural stuff to supernatural can just be, they use it to mean something that is not usually within the course of human endeavors. Something that is not, you will not regularly see. Something you will not see every day on the streets. Something that you cannot just make to happen by yourself like that. So anything that you can do without any effort, without much effort, without anything external acting on you, that you can just, for example, you can pick up a broom. But when you now have to lift a car, that's when they will say, just take it outside. I don't know why she's cranky. Just take it outside. When they say you have to, if you see somebody lifting a broom, they're not bothered. If you see somebody lifting, what else? If you see somebody even lifting up another human being, of course, maybe the same body weight, you're not bothered. But when you see somebody like Rejoice now lifting up a truck, and then you are like, okay, how? So that's where the whole definition of superheroes and all those other people will say superhuman strength comes from. Something, when you say something is super, it's something that is above normal. Now, for us, we are not just talking about, when we say supernatural ministry of Jesus, we are not just saying something in vacuum. For us, we are simply saying acts that are done by the influence of the Spirit in us. So, something as simple as we see it as speaking in tongues is actually a supernatural ministry. I'm sure we know that. Because the fact that you are used to doing something does not take away the source of that thing, the potency of it. So the fact that you are used to praying in tongues and you just open your mouth and pray with ease does not make it any less supernatural. It's just as supernatural to pray in tongues as it is to tell somebody the person's history without meeting them. They're all gifts of spirits. They're all workings of miracles. Praise God. Are we on the same page? So now we are focusing on the supernatural ministry of Jesus, which is, of course, our ministry. But we are going to focus on that line, the natural ministry of Jesus, the supernatural life, whichever one you want to target. Now, like we have said, well, you see, I'm not with the notes. We are just teaching straight. So, as you said, the supernatural ministry, as we're looking at it, is something that is done by the influence of what? The Spirit in us. So, it is not it's not something that is we do regularly. And also, it is different from what you see somebody else doing that is not filled with the Holy Ghost. For example, if you give a word of knowledge and then you see somebody else, like a magician, doing the same thing, you're not supposed to stand in awe of that and be saying, wow. Do you understand? So the fact that somebody can do what you think you can do does not make it supernatural, or it is not something that you should esteem as supernatural. So what we focus on are things that are done by the Spirit in us. Praise God, because there are a lot of things in the world. Let me not go there. We are focusing on the Spirit. Okay, let's start from Philemon 1:6. Philemon 1 verse 6. Are you there? That the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. I know if you're a regular member here, you will know that this scripture, we read it like almost every week. And it's, you see what we sang? From within me flows. That there is a lot in you. And then the Bible is saying that you only become as effective as your full, precise, concise knowledge of everything that is in you. Meaning that if there are a lot of things in you and you know only tongues, are you effective? Are you effective? Because there are some persons that are satisfied. They're like, I'm doing my own small demo in my own way. So they are satisfied. But the Bible says every good thing. It means if there are 100 things in you, if you know 99, you're not yet effective. Is that strange? So until you know every single thing that is in you in Christ Jesus, there should not be any word of saying, let's think of something else, or let's teach something else, or let's do something else. Our focus will remain here until you can boldly tell me that I know precisely and I fully acknowledge everything that I have in Christ. I don't know when we'll get there. Praise God. All right, so that's why we are focusing on that. Now, let us, since we are talking about understanding everything we have, let's go to 1 Corinthians 12. That is one chapter where that is the things we call the gift of the Spirit were listed in quotes or outlined. 1 Corinthians 12. And many persons have come here to pick different doctrines from it. A believer, a lot of things. Everybody has picked different things from here. But let's just see, let's just straighten it out. This is not our focus scripture. We just want to understand some of these things we're talking about. Praise God. Are we there? 1 Corinthians 12, starting from verse 1. If you have the KJV, you'll see that the gift there is italicized, right? It's not, meaning that it was originally, Paul was not originally talking about gifts. Because when you see gifts there, it made it look like something that you're handing out to people. Paul was simply saying concerning spiritual. Concerning the things of the spirit, concerning things that we cannot see, supernatural things that we cannot see. I don't want you to be ignorant. Of course, because of the tune of this chapter, the translators added gifts, thinking that would make it make more meaning. But it actually did not, because it changed our focus to the wrong things, and then made it look like, okay, this is the gift that the Holy Spirit is giving you. This is your own. Take you. This is your own. Take. Do you understand? It changed our focus. But no, remove it as you are reading. Concerning spiritual. What we are focusing now is spiritual. The things of the spirit, I don't want you ignorant. Are we there? Right, let's start. 1 Corinthians 12. Now, concerning spiritual, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. So, it is possible that you can be a man of the spirit. You can be a believer, because, you know, of course, the believer is a man born of the spirit. And yet, you are ignorant of your realm. You know, it's possible that, is it possible that you come to my house and then you are saying, I want to drink water? And I'm saying, water. Hi, water. Where's water again? Where do I keep water? Do I have glasses? Where do I keep glasses? You ask me, then I said, sorry, I don't know where it is right now. Later. And then I'm calling somebody on the phone. Please, do you know if I have water in my house or if I have glasses? But then I don't even know how, I can't comprehend it. Then later the person said, I want to use the bathroom. Bathroom? You mean bathroom? As in like a toilet in this house? Like, I don't want to, can you imagine that? Or I come to your house and I'm asking you, give me a pen. Or I want to watch TV. I'm like, TV? You mean I have a TV in this house? Then you look and you say, oh, it's true, I have a TV. Okay, I don't know how to operate it. Okay, I don't know. Would you not think that you are probably robbing? So you're not, that's not your house. Maybe you came to steal somebody's house or you're just trying to impress. Do you understand? Why? Because it is imagined or is assumed that you should be familiar with your environment. Do you understand? So if you're not familiar in a place, it means you're a stranger. If you come to my house now, you are free to ask me, where's your water, please? But I will not expect you to, after staying with me for one, in fact, I have a rule. If you come to my house to visit me the first time, you're a visitor, I can do all the, like, when Rejoice came now, she thinks that's how it will be every time she comes to my house. I'll just serve you food and... But once you've stayed there with me for 2 weeks, you know where food is, stop disturbing me. Do you understand? I'm not a member of the house. I should not be giving you that kind of stranger treatment. So it is understandable if you come to visit and then you ask questions. But when you are in the house and then you are supposed to be the one I should be asking questions, you are now asking me in return. It means something is wrong. That is why the Bible says concerning spiritual, concerning these things of the spirit, where it is supposed to be your real realm. You're a man of the spirit, right? The believer is spirit, soul, and body, not body, soul, and spirit. There's a reason why the Bible states it in that order, because man is a spirit. Man is a spirit. That's who he is. Now, Paul is saying, concerning that realm, I don't want you ignorant. It means as a believer, the things of the spirit should not be things that you are scratching your head about. Ah, tongues, really? So you mean tongues are that? Yeah, so you mean a believer can raise the that then we just know that guy, I don't know. Are you one of us? You know, you need to ask. So we must be particular about knowledge concerning spiritual things because that is our reality. Praise God. All right, now concerning spiritual brethren, I will not have you ignorant. Verse 2, ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Okay, let me not focus on that. Let me run. Now, there are diversities of gifts. Why are you looking at me? Verse 4. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but what? And there are differences of administrations, but what? And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Now, let's see verse 4 again. Verse 4 said there are what? Diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now, you know, the reason why Paul is trying to say you must not be ignorant of these things that are happening is because of what he calls diversities. What is a diversity? Oh, okay. You know, for example, they say Nigeria is one of the most diversified nations on the earth. What do they mean by that? It means when you come into Nigeria, there are different kind of people with different origin, and we all call ourselves Nigerians, but just 15 naira bike from one place to another place can make you meet an entirely different set of folks that you'll be surprised. How come? For if you're a stranger coming into Nigeria, and then you meet, in fact, you don't even need 15 naira bike. You just need to meet this person. What state are you from? You don't even need to go too far. Just from one person, talk to the next person, and then you see different ideologies. You even hear this person, you hear, see, in my side, we don't take nonsense from women. A woman, how can a woman be talking to you like this? You must kick goats. If I, like my friend said, if our father, grandfather, if our grandmother offended our grandfather, she was to kill a white cock. White, pure white, there was no be spots. Cock, that's how you appease the men in my own side. Another person, in our side, we treat our women respect though. In fact, when they are going to do bride price, they don't sell them. You bring bride price of 200 naira and they give you everything back and they only take 20 naira. So, with this 20 naira, they'll tell you, we did not sell our daughter to you, bring her back. If you maltreat her, we'll come and collect her. You know, there are some tribes like that. Other tribe will say, you want to marry our daughter? Okay, bring one cow. Bring 12 yards of cloth for her mother. Bring 6 yards of cloth for her younger sister. Okay, she's married before her elder sister, so you have to buy cock for the other. That's the tradition I've heard. If you marry before your elder sister, you buy a cock for her, and then she will have to sit down and eat the full cock. And they give you a, like, you can't marry before your elder sister. Okay. So you just be seeing differences like this, like this, like this, like this. How do you reconcile it? So for someone that is looking at it from the external, it will be hard for the person to, he cannot tie a unified, though he says this is Nigeria, but inside this Nigeria, I'm seeing different things, and it becomes hard. So you have to now explain to the person that we have different tribes, and each tribe have their own customs and traditions, and everybody, oh, I see. Okay, what does this, how do I know this tribe? So, okay, you know this tribe by their dressing, by their language, by their this one. Do you understand? So that's that explanation. That's what Paul is trying to give. In the spirit, there are diversities. There are different things that we portray and people just say, like, so it's hard to say, but this person, I see this person doing this. But this same person is not doing what this person is doing. I'm seeing another thing. How come? And people say you're all believers. They are. Calm down. In this spirit, there are diversities. What you see, the branches you see are different. But it's the same what? It's the same word. Now, we must not lose that fact. You see the problem where people have, they just stick to their diversities of gifts and then live the same spirit. For example, I always tell people, like somebody that we were trying to get filled here some weeks back in church, and he was saying there are different gifts for different persons. I said, okay, but look at the same, what the Bible says, the same word, spirit. So is the spirit different? No. It means what is producing these diversities? The same spirit. So as many as diversities can be, is this one spirit, right? Yes, the spirit is not different, right? So the spirit you use, what is in me? Yes, fine. So that settles it. if the diversities are coming from the Spirit, it means we all have the diversities, right? Right. So, if, for example, you come to a party, I'm hosting a party, like some outrageous party gifts we hear, that you come to somebody's party and then it's not just biscuits. You know, Nigeria, you go to a child's birthday, they're giving you biscuits and bobo and sweet and chewing gum and probably one pencil. Carry, Abby, there are some party gifts. Oh my God. There are some party gifts. As you open your party pack, and you are seeing iPhone 7 Plus. Oh, you don't know people throw such parties? You open your phone, you're there, you're seeing big headsets, original one, that is almost, in according to our Nigerian Naira, over 300,000 Naira for a headset. That's the party gift. I'm appreciating you for coming to my party. Don't worry. Of course, you know the invitation to those parties are, it's only when you can just throw there. You know Nigerians, we are gatecrashers. They don't invite you, just see party, just enter. It is free jollof rice. You can't go to those kind of parties like that. It's not that. Don't worry. So you go to such a party, and then it's the same party pack they give. Because most times, except you can tailor, there's some places that share different ones. But now the general thing is that in a party, they share the same party pack. Not Nigeria, that souvenir is different. Somebody can take bucket, you can take broom, you can take matches, you can take Indomie, you can take detergent. You've not seen those things. So anybody, they'll just be sharing. Take. Now, if we have the same party pack, and then I put everything inside one pack, as I'm putting everybody's iPhone X, I know that's what you want, your iPhone 7X, your Beats headset, your Lambano shoes, and I'm just putting everything inside one pack, the same pack. By the time I'm done, as you come for the party, you're about to go, I give you this, take. Inside that pack has like 7 wonderful, glorious gifts. Glory to God. Stop salivating, it's not really an example. So I give each of you one, I say go. And then, if we go outside and then you start dragging or envying her for a party pack, are you normal? We'll probably say over greed is doing you, because what is in your own is what is in hers, of course. So what, even though inside that place you see like 7 different things, but what do you have? You have the pack, right? Now, if you have that pack, can we assume that you have everything? Do you understand? So if you have the Spirit, do you have everything? Yes or no? Good. That's just a simple explanation. There are diversities of gifts, but the same what? So a believer should not be heard saying, this one is my own, this one is not my own. The Holy Spirit chose to give me this one, the Holy Spirit not give me this one. Huh? If we hear you say that, we can assume that either you don't know who the Spirit is, or you are like Rejoice that was envying another person's party pack when you have your own. Hallelujah. All right, let's continue. So are we done with verse 4? Verse 5. Oh, for the persons just come, we are in 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 5. Now, there are differences of administrations, but what? All right. Now, what do we refer to as administration? You know, when you say administrations, or someone in charge of something. You know, for example, let's use what we call the ministry gift. You see, the apostles is different, right? The pastors are different. The evangelists are different. But do all have the same gift? But in terms of the office they occupy, they are different, right? But who is the Lord of the church? It's the same Lord. It's the same person they are serving, right? Okay, now, you know, people will say, then when I used to hear that the evangelist has, do you know the evangelist by the gift he portrays? So the evangelist is the one that has, I forgot what this difference they used to call, but the evangelist has gift of healings, I think, so that for crusades, that's what they used to say. Then the prophet has word of wisdom, word of knowledge, that one, then the... I don't know. The pastor's gift of compassion is not there. You know, people, some persons shared the gift and brought out what some persons are manifesting. But that's not, the Bible never said that the gifts were different. It only said the administrations were different. The offices people occupy are different, though it's the same Lord. Now, how does this happen? How do ministry gifts evolve? You know, nobody was sent from heaven and say, hey, as you're coming to earth, you shall be an apostle and your name shall be called this. And then you shall be called the bishop of the whole world. And when you raise your hand, people shall fall. You know that nobody got that kind of commission. How do ministry gifts evolve in church? Ministry gifts, even as we are here, of course, in 1 year, I will start seeing ministry gifts. Even from persons that are just coming to church, all they need to do is to give themselves to the things of the Spirit. And with time, you see it worked out in a way that a person naturally occupies an office. Or a person just fulfills the role of that. And then even he recognizes that this is the office I am fulfilling or occupying in the body of Christ. Do you understand? It's not as if you call yourself a pastor and say, oh, me, I am an apostle. You just sit down, you know. It's possible. So person just sit down, look, open Ephesians 4 and just read and say, ah, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor. Ah, which one will fit me? Which one will fit me? If I come, pastor does not have level. Pastor does not have level. Pastor does not have level. If I come, I say, pastor, nobody will take me seriously. Teacher. Nah. Teacher does not even have title. If I say I'm a teacher, nobody, what will they be calling me, teacher Joy? No, I don't want. Evangelist, nobody's supposed to suffer too much. Ah, they'll be going to villages. Nah, I don't want that. Prophet. Major one. Ah, that's deep. Okay. Yeah. Prophet. I think prophet will fit me. Oh, apostle, I have great though. No, apostle, you don't wear that. Apostle, prophet. Ah. Okay, I'm an apostle, but I do the work of a prophet, you know? That's not how ministry gifts evolve. You don't sit down and start saying, which one will I? No. You simply do all you are doing right now. You simply keep studying. You keep simply keep manifesting and doing all that you are doing. And with time, you evolve into a military. A ministry gift. Praise the Lord. So it's that simple. All right, verse 6. There are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. Okay, now why are there differences in operations? You know, we are all different. For example, if I tell you sweep, and I tell you sweep, doing the same thing, but the method with which you are doing it, you know it will be quite different. For example, you tell somebody wants to heal by the power of God, and the person goes to the man, and then just looks into his eyes and say, look at me. And then the person gets healed. Abi? Then you see another person to cast out devils and you just slap the person like, ah! I say, I'm not slapping you, I'm slapping the devil. I see the devil can feel. So you just like, bah! And then you just fall down and say, ah, the devil is out. See, that's that. Of course, because that's what he used to do. That he wants to raise somebody from the dead. He carries the person and uses the person on stone wall. And then, bah, you just get up. Or he sees where you are. This is where he's paining you. And then he punches it and says, he's punching the devil. No, everybody, would you say it wasn't effective? It worked for him. Do you understand? That was how he casted out demons or whatever. Of course, if you want to cast that demon from me, oh, of course, it's not possible. But if I was a demon possessed, you slap me. Then I was like, when the demon goes, I would say that using the microphone. Praise God. So differences in operations. We see these gifts at work in different styles. But it's the same God that is at work in all. That is why I cannot condemn a man's methodology. Except, of course, it's something that is not a gift. If you see somebody telling you drink Dettol to remove, to cleanse your spirit, that person, you cannot even ascribe sanity to him. Not talk of the gift of the spirit. Even if I say this one is not sin. I'm not saying you just see anybody that isn't living with his method. No. Manifesting of the gifts of the spirit. I don't know what is manifesting. Anyway, the Bible has its own method, of course. But in those diversities in operations, we know that it is the same God at work, right? So we give it that privilege and that power and that reverence. Because it's the same God at work in all. Now, verse 7, let's all read it together. Hey, verse 7, 1-2, go. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit without. So what has been given to you? Now see, after he has said, there's difference in this one. This one is different. This one is different. He now concluded by saying, the manifestation of what? Now if he had said, the manifestation of the diversity, we would have said, okay, maybe there is something else. Maybe there are some diversities or this one. But he gave you a blank check and said the manifestation of what the Spirit has been given to every man to profit without. That means you have the ability to unveil the Spirit. Why has the manifestation been given to us? As I'm seeing you now, all I'm seeing is pink shirt, fine hair, gold earring. Okay, not gold. What? That's a gold earring. And shoe, and I'm seeing different. I can't see the Spirit. Can I? I can't see those abilities that the Bible is talking about. How do I know you have it? How do we manifest it? With the Holy Spirit going to manifest it for you? So whose job is the manifestation of the Spirit? Whose job is it to unveil tongues? Who? The believer. So the manifestation, that is just what that manifestation means. It means to unveil, to reveal, to open. So this something is inside this place and then you can't see it, and then I open and show you this is what it is. So what is our responsibility? We have a responsibility to unveil the Spirit. Praise God. We are to unveil, manifest, expose, show, let everybody know that this is what we actually carry. Hallelujah. So since we have the manifestation of the Spirit, do we have an issue with the diversity? Do we have issues with diversity? No matter the diversity, we can manifest it, right? It is in our purview. That means it is within your own disposition to say, okay, what is necessary for this circumstance is tongues and interpretation. So you unveil that and let us see it. What is necessary for this circumstance is the workings of power, the demonstration of healings, and then you unveil that, right? Praise God. So we have the manifestation of the Spirit. Say after me, I have the manifestation of the Spirit. I have the manifestation of the Spirit. All right, so let's go to verse 8. Remember when he said there are diversities of spirit, but the diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now, that Spirit, which is the unifying factor, you remember he talked about diversities. Now, he now said 4-to-1 is given by the Spirit. Now, it is couched in a way that makes it look like 4-to-1 man. 4-to-1 man. 4-to-1 man. But don't forget, he was talking about what? Diversities. Do you understand? For example, I say, remember our analogy of Nigeria and our various tribes and the rest. So I've already told you that in Nigeria, there are different tribes. And I'll tell you that for one, you will see dressing like this. For another one, you will see this one. Like, what am I talking about? What am I specifically trying to describe? Do you understand? How you see them, what makes them unique, that distinct factors. So I'm not talking about what is unifying everybody, the fact that they are Nigerians, they are all in the same location. But what is that distinct thing that you will be able to use to distinguish them is what I'm trying to share it with you, right? So it will be kind of stupid for me to say for, I don't know, because of course we are not men and women separate from the men and women in Kenya. It's not as if the men in Nigeria have horns and then the ones in Kenya don't have horns. No, the differences are what we exhibit and the difference is what we are focusing on. Praise God. So 4-to-1, this is what we see in manifestation. This is one diversity that we can see. This is one expression that is visible to us, but it's the same Spirit. All right, let's go. 4-to-1 is given by the Spirit, the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gift of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the workings of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. So, briefly, since what brought us here, that we have not even started looking at what we are, glory to God, is to say, to know the things that we have, right? That's what brought us here. So we'll just do a brief recap. I know we know that. Now, what is the word of wisdom? Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, is the only distinguishing factor. The way we quickly say it is, one talks about the word. The word of wisdom talks about what? Okay. The word of wisdom is talking about future occurrences that is not yet known to the mind of a man. Then the word of knowledge, that's why it's called knowledge, it means something that the person knows. It means it's either the person's past or present, what he can affirm. Do you understand? So if I come to tell you a fact that you know already, like not that you are wearing pink shirt or everybody knows it, something that you do not know or I am expectedly not or I'm not expected to know, praise God. And then I tell you maybe about your, it might even be a situation happening that you are not aware of. It can be for a distant relative. Okay, this person is sick right now. And you might not even be aware, but it's something that is happening. Praise the Lord. It's confirmable facts. That's word of knowledge. Then word of wisdom is something, is an insight into the future. As, of course, you know, God sees all, knows all. Even the very future, though, we get to choose. So an insight into that future. And then I'm able to tell you by supernatural, this, that this is going to happen soon. So prepare your mind. Study in this direction for soon. This will happen, it will happen. Even if it's not that explicit, but it's an insight into a future occurrence. That is the word of wisdom. Praise God. So are we getting that? We must not be ignorant. Remember, that's why we came here. All right. Now, so another gift of another faith by the same Spirit, another gift of healings by the same Spirit. Of course, gift of healings, we don't need to explain that too much. It simply means ability to cause correction to any form of natural defect. So someone that is sick, just bringing physical healing, in quote, that's in the various diversities. That's why some persons will say it's called gifts of healings, because there are different ailments, very, very plenty. So it's why it's multiplied. Whatever, but gifts of healings. Now, gift of faith. Of course, we all have the same spirit of faith. We all have faith. But the reason why this was separated is the ability to receive something for another, not just for yourself. For example, if you get somebody filled with the Holy Ghost, you know that's the gift of faith and working of miracles at work. It means that for some persons, you know, they are not able to, some persons, they might not be able to speak in tongues by themselves. Do you understand? Get me correctly. I'm not saying that you are teaching them tongues, but the fact that some persons, if you leave them on their own, they might not be able to bring themselves to that point where they just speak in tongues. So you, by on their behalf, receive tongues on their receive faith and just the ability to receive something for another person, on behalf of another person, and then communicate same. Praise the Lord. I don't understand that smile. All right, so where are we? Turn to another the workings of miracles, to another prophecy, to another descending of spirits. Of course, okay. So now the workings of miracles. Okay, of course, that's just causing supernatural events to happen. Whatever, any supernatural events you can think about, that's working of miracles. So though some persons have carried it further to trying to do creative things and say miracle money, I am so not going to talk about that. So let me just continue my movement as I was going. Hallelujah. So workings of miracles is just ability to cause things to happen supernaturally. Hallelujah. Okay, so descending of spirits. I met somebody that one day, I said, this is his own gift. Descend. He has the spirit of discernment. I'm like, okay, so what exactly does that mean? I used to see dream. Like this, I can just tell if somebody's a wish. Okay, tell me more. And you know, many persons like this gift. I perceive that this person is operating like the spirit of Beelzebub. I perceive that this one, first of all, it's not men you are told to discern. It is spirits. It's simply the ability to know. Why? Because, of course, like, see Paul now. What happened? You remember we read that story some weeks back about the lady that was disturbing him up and down and saying these people are here to show you the way of eternal life and salvation. Of course, what she was saying, what was coming out from her mouth was correct. By every stretch of imagination, she was saying the truth, the gospel truth. In fact, if you as a believer was going to say the same thing of what Paul came to do, you might not say anything different. You might say the same thing. But the ability to discern that where the source is, where this is coming from, is not of us. Praise the Lord. So that's discernment of spirits. And of course, it's needed, especially in times when a lot of things have been perverted. It's not even far-fetched, because you can just be sitting somewhere, or I don't know, you can use it a lot when you're trying to get someone filled with the Holy Ghost. And then the person starts, so persons just to make you say you fire to talk and then you go. Abi? Or you've not encountered such persons. And then they just start talking rubbish and then your boss. Brother? Sister? Let me explain what we are trying to do. Because it's not, the person thinks, if I talk, you let me go. But you can discern and say, this one is not what you are supposed to be saying. Praise the Lord. So ensure that you take that. I don't know why I said that, but praise the Lord. Okay, so let's continue to another diverse kind of tongues and to another the interpretation of tongues. I mean, okay, I skipped prophecy, sorry. Of course, prophecy is not necessarily, you know, the fact many persons have seen prophecy before. We just stand, when somebody stands up, thus says the Lord, this one shall happen, rain will not fall, and this one shall go, and this one shall come, and then the Lord has said it, oh Lord, everybody just say, glory, thanks be to God, and then all the persons just keep on. Then my true brother show, when that woman stand up, and she wants to, and she just says, thus says the Lord, everybody just keep quiet, like, because we are hearing from God at that moment. So everybody, let us see. So this story. I remember there was an incident when we were in Zamfara. Oh, Pastor Jonah, today is his birthday. So Pastor will go. There's a lady. Pastor has called the meeting to an end. Like, he wants to conclude prayers. And then somebody from one corner is shouting, oh, my bedroom. Oh, the Lord is saying. He will just signal to an usher, take her outside. Take her out. I've called, as in I've closed the meeting. That the spirit of the Lord is a spirit of order. That spirit that is tormenting you there, that you feel you cannot hold it, it's not of God. There is order in this place, and I am in charge. And if he says, keep quiet, I still don't keep it quiet, the thing is too much on you, they'll just carry you outside like this. Oh. And I remember the prayer secretary came to meet me and was complaining, like, I don't like this thing that my uncle does. Uncle Joe, you have to give leading to the spirit. You have to give the spirit free flow and free course. The Lord is trying to speak to us and then he's disregarding it. Brother, you know, where do you start? Saying, you don't, I'll try and talk to him. There's nothing you can say. Because if you don't understand that, if you don't understand the subject of order, if you don't understand that the same Bible that is talking about prophets or whatever said the spirit of the prophet, the subject to the prophet, that when they speak, they should speak by tongue. It means if he says speak by tongue, he says if something is revealed to you, you should keep quiet. Meaning you can hold it and keep your mouth shut, Abby. So when you now say, like, it's burning in my bone. I can't hold this. You should check very well. It might be an evil spirit. So don't let anybody bamboozle you and say, the spirit, you choose your persons, they give them a microphone, close by 2. That is when you have, by that 2 o'clock, close, let us go and eat. Oh, Bedjo, I cannot just stop. I'm trying to stop, but the spirit is not letting me. Oh, we have to continue. Anyway, we're all learning, we're all growing, of course, because if you don't know that it is you that is controlling the spirit and not the spirit controlling you, if you do not know that, you can actually be doing, let's go out there, people will be hungry. Of course, I know that there are times that things can, of course, we need more time. That's why even Pastor was telling you last week that you should have sang, he felt you should have sang in the spirit more. It means that there are times when, though in your own mind and your own programming, you are supposed to just sing in tongues for 2 minutes as the icing of the cake, and then remove the icing, and then they will now go and sing normal song inside the cake. So when after that 2 minutes, you're very tired, it's okay, let us proceed. Of course, there are times when you feel an impulse leading to do more, but it's still subject. That is why it is still subject to you. You can still decide that, okay, singing tongues over. Me, I want to sing my own song now. So is it not you that is controlling the spirit? Or the person that will say, oh Lord, come and have your way, come and take control. You have taken control. So that's the way I'm going to. Praise the Lord. Let's move. People are always distracting me. All right. So, we talked about the sending of spirits, prophecy. Prophecy. Inspired speech, inspired utterance. Of course, we know what the test of prophecy is in 1 Corinthians 14. Prophecy must be unto what? So if that thing is lacking, we have to check your prophecy very well with microscope. So don't say, I have come. Oh, brother, I see a dark path ahead of you. It is very dark. In fact, as I'm saying, it's darker than this shirt you are wearing. Oh, brother, in fact, I don't think you should leave this church right now, because if you leave this church, there are agents of darkness waiting there to kidnap your soul. In fact, as you go out and step out, there's 2 cars will come from the left and 1 from the right, and then 5 from the front and 4 from the middle, and you will not have a way of escape. I have seen it already, and then this is sudden death. And then everybody will not see that. God, why this? You said you'll not be a caller, like somebody that called you. Don't leave the house today. Oh, I've seen such a terrible vision that something's going to happen to you today. And now I felt he had given prophecy. If your prophecy does not edify, if it does not bring comfort, if it does not bring exhortation, we don't want to hear it. Keep it. Thank you. Can't give it to Major One. 2 of you will use it to make money. Hallelujah. So keep your prophecy. Even if something evil is revealed, as a minister of the New Testament, of course, you know how to say it, right? You cannot say, you have something, okay, danger awaits, and then you just come and say, ah, danger, all around you, I'm just seeing red, like fire. There's a way you present things to the person, and then in the midst of that, give the person comfort. What you are supposed to be presenting is the person's victory, assurance, and then what you should do. Oh, you shall die tomorrow, help. So, praise the Lord. So that's prophecy, and the test for prophecy is already there, and tongues and interpretation of tongues. Hallelujah. Okay. We just came here to talk about what we have in the spirit, and time has gone. Should I close here? This is not even the message. We have not started the message. Okay, so that is just that's example, just to show us what we're actually talking about, what we said is supernatural ministry. These are things, we said the supernatural ministry are things that are done by a man with the aid of the Spirit and work in him. So things that are not the natural things that he does, products of his own actions. All right, so let's just look briefly. Since we are trying to look at the supernatural ministry of Jesus, let's look at Luke. Let's see these things that we just read in the life of Jesus. Remember, Jesus manifested everything we just listed besides what? And what? Why? Why? It's a chorus answer, no? Why did Jesus not speak in tongues? Because the Spirit have not brought tongues. Praise the Lord. You see why tongues is what my pastor would say, value tongues. It took God, Jesus to die for you and resurrect for you to have tongues. So it's not just, tongues is one of the ways, one of the gifts persons just feel like it is. They're looking for, I want to do miracle like this. I want to just, as I show up like this, let everybody, if I let the people that are seeing, let them become blind and let their eyes be open again. Let them just, let them really be scattering. Those are the ones that they feel, veteran. Don't esteem tongues. And when they speak in tongues, it took Jesus dying and resurrection to give you tongues. Hallelujah. Okay, so let us start. Luke. Let's look at Luke chapter 4 from verse 31. Oh, it's just a very brief recap. Are we there? Let's walk with me here. Let's be fast. Luke 4:31. And came down, we're talking about Jesus, and came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And in the synagogue there was a man which had the spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. So that's what? What was at work there? Casting off. Of course, okay. So that's a working of miracles. Hallelujah. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power, he commanded the unclean spirit, and they come out. And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and he left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them, and she was able to cook for them. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick, oh my God, that is anybody in their house that had any form of sickness with diverse diseases, brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place, and the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him, that he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. So we see an example of the supernatural ministry of Jesus. Anywhere he went to, in fact, it was people were not, they did not even want him to go. And he said, this same message I've taken out. So it was not just, we saw him teaching with power, but it was not just with words. It was not just teaching in the synagogue and just talking. A major sign that accompanied his ministry was the fact that when, it's not as if he was just going out and saying, okay, all of you, just be bringing anything I want to do. No, wherever the opportunity presented itself, he healed everyone. Of course, there was no... Anyway, let me not go there. Praise God. So that's Jesus. See, we see an attribute of that, and the fact that he spoke words with power. He had authority and power. See, with authority and power, he commanded the unclean spirit and it came out. Remember Pastor's distinction on Sunday? It was Sunday night. I was talking about authority and then power. Casting out devils with authority and power. All right, so in the same look, we look at chapter 5. In fact, the whole book of Luke is filled with just miracles of healings. Chapter 5, Jesus healed a leper. He healed a man taken with palsy. And it was some of them, which you see that other place now, he laid hands on them. But in Luke 5, verse 22, when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering unto them, said, what reason you in your heart? Whether it's easier to say, the sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man had power on upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into the house. And immediately, he rose up before them and took up that whereupon he lay. Meaning that he did not even have to lay hands on him. With this one, he could just open his mouth and say, arise. And the person stood up and went. The other places he said, go and show yourself to the priest. For someone else, he took mud and then mixed with water. And then the other persons, he would hold their hands and say, stand up and walk. Other persons touched his hem of his garment and then he was healed. So you see different. You could not tie it and say, okay, this was a particular way. For to raise up somebody's child that was dead, he could speak a word. For another person, in fact, distance was not even a location. You remember the Capernaum son, the man from Capernaum, and he said, go, your son is well, or your servant is well. And then the child that he took the hand and said, okay, rise up and stand up. And the other one, like he chased everybody out and was alone. Different, there was no methodology, in quotes. You know, so person say, this is the only way I know power to walk in me. Like, is it not Bishop Oyedepo that said, somebody came to his house. No, he's not Oyedepo Ken Hagen. Somebody came to his house. They brought somebody that was demon-possessed. And the person has been demon-possessed for a while. Or the woman just came to want to beg, come and pray for my child that is going mad. And then as she came, ah, you are eating. Hey, it's, you know, feeling like the blood of God is not anointed right now. The anointing is in a relaxed state, is eating, and this one needs to be fasting and prayer. And what happened? He said, I wanted you to come and pray for my child, but you are eating. What is the correlation between the food? No, because everybody I've been carrying out to them be declaring weeks of fasting, and this one is very strong. And then he just left the food, went to cast out whatever was wrong with that one and came back to the food and continued eating. So there's no, for this kind, go ahead, not by. Okay, let me not go to that scripture. Nah, time has gone. So some persons will just say, this one is strong. You have to have concentrated, you have to pray. Of course, we will get there. For a person to be so full or in tune and to be able to do that at will, it means his mind was not filled with Telemundo. It means he was not thinking about the next episode of Super Story. Okay. Don't worry. That's the end. Let me not preempt myself. Praise the Lord. All right. So let us now look at, you see, that whole book of Luke. We cannot exhaust it. I thought we were going to look at different examples, but time has gone. This is 7 o'clock already. All right. Let's look at Colossians. 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 Colossians 2. Are we there? Verse 9. Now this was talking about Christ. For in him, are we there? For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And what? Okay, let us read that two verses again. And read it like you understand what you just read. Praise God. All right, verse 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Who was that scripture referring to? Jesus. That in Christ, all the fullness, does not half and half. Remember in John, the Bible says that God gave it not the spirit unto him according to measure. As in, it's not that, okay, take 2% or take 3%. There was no measure. is the fullness of the Godhead. So anybody you can see, anybody say God was separate, Jesus was separate, Holy Spirit is in one corner. The fullness of the Godhead dwelt where? In him, bodily. As is there. Not in spirit, but as is there. The fullness of the whole Godhead was in him. Then he now said, where are we? So that we also will not think that we also have measure. We are what? No, he did not just say we are in him. We are complete in him. So the believer is the one that is what? Complete in him. Who is the head of all principality and powers? So, by proxy, who is the head of principality and power? Glory. So, they say you are complete in Christ. Who is the head? You remember Philippians, for God has highly exalted him by giving him a name above all every other name, that at the name of Jesus, whether, let me double confess, whether where, anywhere the thing is. So, you see why you do not necessarily have to somebody is sick here, why you don't necessarily have to travel all the way? Why people can heal through television? Do you understand? You are giving word of knowledge. That's how Pastor Nanyika said he believed in the ministry of Pastor Bishop Idausa then. Pastor Idausa was preaching on the TV and gave a accurate, precise, concise, everything size not word of knowledge for his brother that was sick on the bed and described everything. He said he's well. And before then, they had doubted the man's ministry from head to toe. Man is well. So there was no boundary, there was no barrier. You know, say, I have to see you physically. I have to lay hands on you. I have to come and do this work. Whether on earth, whether in heaven, whether in worry, whether in America, all power. We are completing him. Praise God. So this is who we are. We are the one in him that has all power, all authority. And not so that we will not just think that we are acting by proxy. Remember when he ascended and what did... Okay, let's go and read. Matthew. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Apple. All right, Matthew 28, verse 18. Are we there? Okay, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, let's read it together. Wait, I can't hear you. Then what was the first word he now said? Therefore. All right, let's see. Look at this description. He first of all started by, because in the previous verse, they were talking about some still having doubts. And then Jesus appeared to them and said, all power, heaven, earth, everywhere, given to me. And I said, good, therefore. What's the meaning of that therefore for all our English scholars? Because of what I just said. Abi, because all power has been given unto me. Go. Preach. Baptize. Heal your sick. Do you understand? So it's not as if we, for example, if Rejoice, maybe I'm a soldier, I'm a military man, serious military man, and then I am some persons, I came to visit Rejoice, and some persons were now disturbing her in the house. Some persons usually come to disturb her in the house, but since they don't know I was there, I sat down inside the house, and I tell her, go and slap that. Who is the person disturbing you? One hefty man. And I tell her, go and slap the man. Rejoice, will you go? Be honest, will you go? You don't gonna slap me like that. Will you go? I'm inside the ice cream, drinking the ice cream. No, I won't follow you. I'm telling you, go. What will you do? If you will go, let me see your hand. If you won't go, let me see your hand. Exactly. Me, I will go. Why are you sending me? You go. Do you understand? Why are you sending me? At least go, because when you go, you don't even have to talk. Just with your uniform. And you go out and the guy, I came to buy, take Rejoice out to ShopRite. I didn't know she had visitors. Okay, sorry. Bye-bye. Later, I'll come. But when I now go, my own is not plenty explanation. There's a soldier inside my house. He said I should come out and slap you. And then before you are talking, as I slap you, you slap me back. Before I run, I go and call soldier. Have you not slapped me already? Oh, yeah, you cannot just be going on this kind of mission. I said, God, I'll go. Go, go. Say, me, I'm the one that have the power. You go. You don't do things like that. Praise the Lord. I won't go. And at least we are sincere. So, basically, they will not go. To show you that that is not what Jesus did for us. It's not as if he just won power and then went to sit down somewhere and say, okay, all the power is my own, no. Go. I'm just sending you like this. There's a difference. What's the difference? He gave you the same power. It means he's not just sending you on suicide mission. The power he has, he gave you. Do you understand? So, when it's not just like, you know, all these movies that they used to clone people. Like, when we watch one day, Oblivion, they clone the mind, so like more than 5,000 parts. So, as they kill one, another one will come out exactly the same thing, the same, all those kind of things. So, imagine as I'm there now, I'm the soldier. I'm enjoying this ice cream, man. I can't go out. So, I just cloned Rejoice to be exactly like me. Well, so, when you are not seeing Rejoice, you're just seeing me like this now. And then she's looking at her in the mirror, like, I'm you now. So, how will our own action and act like I'll go? What will be our own expression? Will she doubt again? So, you're bouncing like, where are you there? Talk out. The guy will not even know that. Maybe, what's going on? Do you understand? But the issue is that why is she more confident? Because she feels the physical. All right, what if all the abilities I have to defeat the soldier, for that brute, whatever it is, my strength, my training, everything, I just give you like this, bah, this is yours now. Eh? Though your body is still small like this, but you have all the skills, expertise, everything already inside of you. Will you go? Because that is even more intimidating. You just go out now, the man will come and want to start taking you like, is it not the same with Joyce? And as he's just talking like, you just make it, you slap me. You know the other. It's me. I'm the new terror in town. So that's what pastor is doing when we are in San Fran. So they say to your neighbor, you are the new oppressor. You are the new oppressor. We didn't know that stuff. I'm the new oppressor. I said I'm the new oppressor. So later I understood. Okay, that's what it meant. That people that you know in times where people you feel they have been the one oppressing you, and then the tables have now turned. You are now the new oppressor. So you're gonna be looking for trouble because. Like when somebody becomes a lawyer, your family says, I cannot go and start looking for trouble. I have a lawyer. Go now. You tell me that you and the lawyer are the same. Praise God. So I said all this to say that Jesus did not just say, all the power is my own. Oh, yeah, people should go, all my errand people. Go. You're going to be causing conviction. Anybody that disturbs me, tell them that I sent you. So it's not like that. He gave you all the power, all the authority, every single thing. So there is nothing less of who he is that he did not give you. That is why you should have more boldness and more confidence. Why? Because the same one that said all power gave you the same all power. Remember we talked about this 3 weeks ago, that the believer should come to a point where he realizes that it's the same power that raised up Christ from the dead, where the Bible says that was the greatest power of God ever displayed. As in all of God's power, nothing missing, nothing broken. Use it all. Bam! Like Pastor used to tell us then, God wants to kill. Remember, a mosquito is disturbing you. One mosquito just flying in your ear, like, and then to deal with that mosquito. You carried all the nuclear bomb in US, in the US, UK, Iraq, go and gather all the nuclear bombs in the world and just pack to kill one mosquito. And you know, wicked. So, the power was more than what was necessary. That was the power that was used to raise Jesus from the dead. Not as if he took all of God's power to raise him more. It's just that you used more than was necessary. So I decided to, I want to display all my power. Bah! And that all power is what God said is in us. The power that is at work in us. The same power that raised up Christ from the dead. It's just that, of course, that's what Pastor was saying. We finished the series. Wondering God where? In your thoughts. Because there's no way you will not focus on these things and reality will not dawn on you. You know, the best times where I did some strange things was when we just finished teaching meetings, especially after Layhood. That's why you see people come from Layhood, and then they are going and you're seeing all some testimonies. I just healed a madman. Why? It was nothing. It's not as if there was a special power that was imparted unto them. But they simply came for Layhood and took, because Layhood then was a retreat. You come, you stay there. You're not going anywhere. 3 days, you'll be in one place. You're not going out. We give you food when we decide to give you food. We pray. You will hear who you are. And then you're coming out. That's the only thing you're thinking about. Do you understand? So at that point, you're just eager to let me do something. Why? It's because you just finished focusing, putting your mind on this. So imagine if that environment was your whole environment every day. Do you understand? But I'm not joking. There's a layout group. Anytime we finish layout, just see consciousness everywhere, up and down. Somebody went home. The mom had a lump on her back, like almost getting as big as Hunchback, the grandma. They just said, let's lay hands on this back. And they woke up in the morning and the back was flat. Flat. Even they were surprised. We just laid hands on and went to sleep. Do you understand? On a normal day, they would not have. They were living there in the house with the grandma with that back pain and back swelling. But they just said, we have learned that power is in us. In the name of Jesus. And then you start hearing awesome testimonies. What was the difference? Proverbs 18. Proverbs chapter 18. Are we there? Okay. Proverbs 18 verse 1. Through desire, a man, having separated himself, seeketh and intermediate with all wisdom. But what was the first word? Through what? So you see the consecration part. A man having separated himself. Meaning that there are some things that will not jump on you. I know we have legitimate. That's why I used to advise. Paul said that the unmarried man and the unmarried woman is busy what? Serving the Lord. You know that these days that unmarried people are not doing future bear and bull up and down. They are now filled with getting a bull. No. The single woman and the single man, not just one woman, and the single man should be busy what? Serving the Lord. He said, because the married woman and the married man, they care for the affairs of this life. How they may please their husbands and all these lawful distractions. They're lawful. They're lawful. Remember the way when we were in TBC and I just gave birth to my first child. When I gave birth to the second one and we were in church. We at the back, that's where we are, the nursing mothers. And if Pastor Jonah want to laugh at us, he will say, if I want to talk now, I will say, okay, those two women, bring your notes. But there were times where myself and his wife, there's only to carry notes to church because we might not write anything. By the time you finish dancing all through service, you are just hoping that you will hear the sermon, not even to what is writing. Let me just hear. Let me not be able to run out that a child is crying and then she distracts everybody. Every 30 seconds, we are dancing at the back. So we had our own distracted service at the back. So we have to pay extra attention. You see, so sometimes with baby here, trying to hold Bible, let us just be doing it. Sometimes it's very awkward positions just to write. But if you look at my notes, it was a very embarrassing thing. That's why I'm angry. When I see young people, you don't always, you sit down in service for money and you can't give me one page of a note. I'm like, are you serious? The time will come when if you don't cultivate this habit now, you will never be able to write again. By the time you're dragging two children, you will never say, let me just sit down, not go to church. I'm not gaining. Or you don't know. It's the passion you build now that sustains. Reopen Bible. No. You don't know what you have. A single man and a single woman should be busy serving the Lord. And so that the married person will also think that he's free. Paul now said, the time has also come that those that are married should do what? People don't read 1 Corinthians 7. That's good. I love this church. Praise the Lord. Say the married people should live as if they're not married. So don't come and now use your marriage as I have a lawful rate. Because by the time we're all giving joint or account, you don't know you give account. By the time we're all giving account, I cannot go and stand and say, you know I was married and I had children. That's why I cannot do anything. How? So it's not an excuse. You know I had a job. You know how to work. You know how to feed my family. I had 10 children and 5 adopted ones and 15 in-laws. They can't give that. So just imagine all the excuses that you are thinking now is lawful. Imagine it very well, though, and imagine yourself giving judgment on top of those excuses. Yeah, continue. I have to travel. You know, I was in school. I have to read. Or do you want me to fail, Lord? I was in school for 6 years of my life. In fact, 7 years. I had that school strike. I was in school for 10 years. I just had to read. Okay. It's okay. Praise the Lord. It's okay. Continue. You know, it got to a time in a Revelation when after Job has talked about it, he got to a point that he said, he that is unrighteous, let him what? Continue. Don't even bother. Just continue. You know, just continue. The Lord is coming. Abi, we have been talking. Read Bible. You know, yeah, continue now. Don't read though. There's nothing that is a lawful, nothing. I'm talking to myself, nothing. Because at the end of the day, sometimes I wake up in the morning until night, I'm not getting to sit down. I'm like, pop, 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 pop. When this, I have to time my sleep to say this one has slept. In fact, I have to keep them awake to sleep at the same time. So as you all sleep, like, poof, 30 minutes. If I know, one has cried, okay. I'm not thinking of sleeping. But the funny thing is, the Bible says true desire. It means I have not desired this thing hard enough. Because if I do, I will seek. I will separate myself somehow. Somehow. We have not desired it. We have not. We have talked about this some weeks back when we talked about passion. If you would somehow find a way of doing the things that you desire and want to do. John, did you watch Real Madrid match on Sunday? Real Madrid match. That interesting match they played with Real Betis. They almost disgraced them. You watched the match, have you? When you watched that match, it was late in the night, evening. Were you tired? But you were watching match, have you? Awesome. Where's Joshua? You should not go. Joshua, come. Come, I can see you. Step in. Did you watch Chelsea's match yesterday? You watch it from beginning to the end, Abby? Oh, glorious. How many hours did you spend watching the match? Roughly 2 hours. That's good. And you came back from work yesterday, Abby? Were you not tired? Oh, of course. Did you find time to pray after you came back from work yesterday? Did you hear the way Charlie did, no? So at that point, how can we judge the priorities? See? And I'm not sure we watch that much tired than sitting down crossing the leg, people should play. No, you're watching at the edge of your seat with passion. How can you miss that goal? Don't even go there. Chelsea played, when was their last match? It's not once a week, except you don't follow football. Sometimes it's 3 times a week. You play FA Cup, you play this one. Everyone following how many times they play. How many clubs they are supposed to support. You know the funny thing? I've realized that some football fans don't just watch the team of their club. They watch any match, live match they see. You don't say live match, maybe watch them. Why? And they are watching the match of the, if Man U and Man City are competing. Like, some people, do you know that some Real Madrid fans watched yesterday's match? Just to know if Barcelona will progress. Let's see who we are going to face. You don't tell me a football fan watches match once a week. Who does that? You focus, you separate the time. Okay, let's focus on the table. This person can have, if this person wins their match, it means that, so you watch their match for them. Watch your own match. Watch the next person. You all watch. And then, of course, there's commentary. That's the one me I used to like. The one that's what the people analyze the football. Was that an offside? That was supposed to be. That was a right. That was not a foul. So you now spend more than 1 hour again analyzing with your friend. That is even the one you see with TV. But you now continue on phone and online. Did you see how that person missed? I don't know. A friend of mine was so angry that Conte did not play strikers and then he refused to watch the match. He said, how can you not play strikers? He was angry, personally. How can you not play a striker with a team to fight Barcelona? You should play that Morata or Giroud. Okay, this is not part of everything. Praise the Lord. By word of knowledge, I'm giving you... I'm giving you this things by the inspiration, by utterance. Not that it's flowing like utterance. It's flowing like utterance. I'm giving you my word of interest. It's just coming to me. I'm just revealing. It's just be revealing. If you had there's a screen here, just showing me all the information of what is happening. Don't. You see the passion of people which people display. So a football match goes beyond 2 hours. It goes beyond the time you used to calculate it. If you go and dream and be dreaming about the match, I'll be angry in your dream. How can he miss those 4 chances? Who would have been? Why was he just hitting the post? Who would have been? How many goals all by now? And to show that the village people were pursuing him. Because he hit post, did I use the ball to hit his face too? And say, okay, yeah, his face I've hit. Anyway, what we are trying to say, brethren, focus. I said I knew my word of knowledge. Are you doubting the word of the Lord? Are you doubting the word of the Lord? I'm holding this microphone. Everything I'm saying is inspired. Praise the Lord. So you see what when you are passionate about something, you will create the time. You will create it. It's just passion. It's just desire. Do you want this thing bad enough? You want it bad enough? And the reason why it's not going to just be, for example, football is real. It's real. Teaching your students is real. You are seeing them. So you don't even need to create time for it because it has already created time for itself. It has put itself in your schedule. They've scheduled the match for you. 2 months ahead of time now. Everybody already knowing that. On Suso Day, Barcelona will play Chelsea by Suso time. Abi, they've scheduled it for you. Who will schedule prayer for you like that? Who will schedule? The only thing you schedule for you is church. Even the church, you don't come every time. Even the church, you don't come early. That's the only thing scheduled for you. And in fact, some person, anyone that is not in part of that schedule, that 2 times a week is out of the way. So nobody's going to schedule things for you and say, by this time you should be praying. By this time you should be reading. You will carry yourself and over schedule it. Because if you let it go, your day automatically plans itself for you. My own day plans. I don't even need to do anything extra. I know what to do part time. I know I'm supposed to wake up by this time. I know by this time my daughter should be in school. I know this other one will wake up by this time. And her food should be ready by this time. My day just starts planning itself for me. Like, and if I stay and think, if I tomorrow I know what I should be doing from morning to evening, there's no time for prayer there. It's not there. From what I can see, it's not there. If I wake up by 6, there's no time for prayer. So what should I do now? It's not to carry myself and wake up before the 6. Or to ensure that somehow inside the time, I just, okay, this one, heaven will not fall. If you want to cry, cry. 30 minutes. You don't do this solution. So you have to make serious time and plan for it. Otherwise, if you let prayer and fellowship with God and study just happen, you will realize that you have gone 1 month. You have not prayed except when you get to church. I know it's church time prayer. That's the prayer. You have prayed in church. So when you answer verses, you will still come late and miss the prayer. We prayed yesterday. Today I was going to get a new prayer. Okay. Let's pray. I got a new prayer. And because it's tongues, anytime you just want to pray, once you just resume, you're like Samson that will just shake off himself and say, the power is there. Not your deshi. As you are praying tongues again, so you are flowing. And you're like, it's still there. I still got it. The reason why a man can say, what concerns food and this thing, is because his own mind, his own consciousness is filled with these things. So whether he's doing activity, whether he's working, it doesn't affect the fact that he's ever ready. Judith, if I say, come and cast that devil, I would just say, I've not prayed for 2 days. Just wait. Wait first. That's all. But it's this state of keeping yourself abreast with studying, praying, it just makes you, I don't know how to say it, it just makes you ever ready. Let me just say it like that. It makes you consciously, unconsciously, you are ever ready. And if we are going to actually do the supernatural ministry that we want, we cannot run away from this. The pastor said he doesn't jump on you. Abi, healing the sick and doing all the great things, there's no jump on you. When they gave that message, I have to go home and say, I don't need to. But when I was in school, I'm passionately advising. That's what we talked about. We spent hours just with friends. Ha! What was the Lord saying? What was the time of this season? How do we pray? We gather around and we are saying, okay, have you listened to this? Which book are you reading now? From this book you read. So it was what filled my mind. It affected my whole consciousness. I changed fellowship because where I was a groovy fellowship. We were cool. We're the ones that do jeans day and native day and this one day and all the day. I ran away. I went to look for, I didn't even know what I was chasing. But I just knew I knew something deep. That was all I was thinking about. I did not wear earrings for almost 2 years. I stopped making my hair because I was just looking for how to connect more, how to bond for God. I wanted to bond. I bond to, it was a wonderful time. Praise the Lord, as we are saying. So you have to, that's why I tell you, when you, it's like, you see, you understand what I'm trying to say now. You understand? You can marry, but you do not be more. He that seeketh marriage, seeketh unto himself a great work. For thou shalt be ready to do twice what you extra. Because it not takes twice the effort. Nobody says you don't marry, but it not takes you twice. Because you are still treated in the eye of God as though all of your eyes. Men and brethren, are we ready to be supernatural? Are we ready? That's our theme for this quarter. The supernatural life, the supernatural ministry of Jesus. Are we ready to be beyond the ordinary? Me, I want to. I gave this young man a book. He has not given me reports. God's generals. Read. Those were things that were read volume 1, 2, 3. Just read. See what people were doing, and then you are looking like, you mean this man did this? My mouth will be like, I went to carry Kechi Kuma's book. So you mean somebody was working at this on a stage, on a platform, and then the platform ended and she kept working on air? Do you understand? A woman. So you read this and you're like, They did not have two heads though. The same spirit. Same spirit though. Same. She just chose to manifest it. And me, I'm choosing not to. And then all of us, there are people think we'll be equal in effort. Otherwise, we were the thunder that we fire them out. It's not the same effort we are going. If you like, carry your own on your head, and you carry your own. We are going to... When the Bible says there will be a reward, that's not what I explain to somebody. The Bible says, if God says there will be a reward, take it serious. He didn't tell us what the reward was. Even me, I don't know. People who are with their carnal mind have attributed it to mansion just because they cannot build a house here on earth. They now feel that God will give them mansion as compensation. They say, let me offer God will give me a mansion. How? A crown with plenty of stars attached to the earth. So somebody's own will be shining. I remember one pastor said, my own will be shining from far. And I said, if you just see somebody that is with his own, the light, they just shining, you're going, you know that it's Billy Graham. So some persons feel like every soul you win, that's a star. So some persons will not have star. That's what they used to make us come for evangelism. I want to see star on my own crown. How will I go to heaven and there will be no star on my crown? So you don't know what that reward is. But the Bible says there will be a reward. So there will not be equality there. Oh. So are we ready to be supernatural? Are we ready to give our best? Let it be that by the time you're on your dying bed, you say, see Paul now. See Paul. He's not a man. A man. Where did we get our passions and our priorities so mixed up? Where? Money? What exactly? Like, where will people chase things? Things that they felt had eternal value. And then they were ready to give up not marrying, not having children. Of course, I don't say everybody, if all of us don't marry, who will replenish the earth? But they were ready to give up things. At least you did not see persons that people, Peter, marriage did not stop him from doing ministry. He did it, and then he was burnt on this day, crucified upside down. So, carry yourself, carry the wife, and go carry the children on the road. Whatever you want to do, or you live there and go and do ministry, whatever you just do. Do something. Just do. The Christian faith is a doing one. We must see it by action. That's why people are saying the Christian. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Last scripture that we'll just close. We have time. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 4. Read from verse 12. No, no worry. Let's start from verse 8. 1 Timothy 4:8. Are we all there? Please, everybody, open. All read it together. A bodily exercise profited little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore, we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give yourself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. That's the last exhortation I have for you. The only way your profiting will appear to all, remember the Bible says that, but the manifestation of the giving spirit is given to every man to profit. So the only way that profit will show to all, say meditate on these things and give yourself how? Let's just stand up on our feet. Let's just sing in the Holy Ghost. Let's just sing in the Holy Ghost. We'll sing the song we sang again at the beginning. If you're not here, we'll just learn it. I flow. From within me flows the things of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. From within me flows. From within me flows tongues and utterance. From within me flows the gift of healings. From within me flows workings of power. I flow. But just sing in tongues. Just sing in the Holy Ghost. Just sing in the Holy Ghost. That's one way to fill your consciousness with divine things. When you sing in the Spirit, it focuses your mind on things divine. That's what tongues is for. My pastor will say, I will speak in tongues. I will labor in tongues until I do the workings of miracles. I will speak in tongues continually. Because tongues is a doorway to everything, the manifestation of everything. You spend time in tongues. You spend it until you are edified to the point that you just flow in these things. That's God's gift to us.
In this work, we will participate. Our names will be written. Oh,
And I told you we are going to... Remember the example I gave about not being a stranger in your own house, right? That somebody should not come to your house and they're asking you, where is your water? You say, I don't know. Where is your this one? I don't know. A stranger in your house. If it's your house, if it's your realm, if it's your domain, you must be familiar. You must be used to it. There's darkness in the house. They take light in your house. You don't need to bump. You can walk to where you want to get things, without, even in darkness, because you are familiar with it. So the things of the spirit is your domain, is your realm. You should be familiar with it. You should be you don't need to be jacked up. You know this cassava engine that you will do You don't need to be wind up. It's your realm. You flow. Why? Because from within you, that's where everything is flowing from. The gift of healings, tongues and utterance, workings of miracles, workings of power. There is it flowing from within you. So you don't come into an atmosphere where persons where they are demonstrating things of the spirit and you are standing at the back and you are saying, I don't know what they are doing. They are strange. Just go outside. It's your house, it's your realm, it's your domain. You must not say, I need one hour to boot up. I need to boot up before I can flow in service. How? How? Why do you have that consciousness? Because probably from Sunday, since Sunday when we came to church, you probably have not prayed in tongues. From Sunday till now, you have not done anything of the spirit. So you come on Saturday, on Wednesday, you are trying to boot up. And then when you leave again on Wednesday, you are trying to, you forget about everything about church until Sunday when you will see you again. That's why it's hard. You are here, I'm not switching. You flow. That's why we sang this song. I don't want to hear in the divine assembly that we are having a believers meeting and then you say, go and minister to this person and you are having second thoughts. Remember what I do? I can call any of you anytime. Call it this new member field. And God help you the day you tell me I'm not ready. It's your realm. That's why we are teaching this series. You flow. You flow. Do you know what it means to flow? I flow. As in, there's no hindrance. There's no obstacle. I step into the spirit anytime because that is where I am. You should be more attuned in the spirit than your physical world. That's how you should be. We'll just sing this song one more time and then we'll go. It's taking a lot of time. From within me flows the gifts of the spirit. From within me flows tongues and utterance. From within me flows the gifts of healing. From within me flows workings of power. I flow. Hallelujah. Are we ready? One more time. And you're going to say, you sing it because it's your consciousness. It's actually a confession. This is what you are saying. This is what you are. It flows from within you. You're not going to go and root it out from somebody. Or go and call somebody. Please come and tell me what I have. You know what it is. Hallelujah. From within me flows the gifts of the Spirit. From within me flows tongues and utterance. Tongues and utterance. From within me flows the gifts of healings. The gifts of healings. From within me flows the workings of power. The workings of power. And I flow. One more time, I flow. Yes, I flow. Spark our offerings and just give it. Remember the song that Michael gave us last week Wednesday? God has given the world gifts as men. We are the gifts. That's the funny thing. Healings is not existing in a vacuum. It's actually inside you. So it is you that was actually given to men. The believer with the spirit. You are the gift to the world. And if you don't flow in this, it means you have not blessed the world.